So I want us to think tonight for a little while now about thankfulness. We've just sung about that, and I want us to think about it for a while this evening. My text is in Colossians chapter 3. You'll see it on the sheet. If you have a sheet, you turn on the other side from the reading is an outline of what I want to say tonight. And there you have three words from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, and it just ends with this. And be thankful. And be thankful. So the Apostle Paul, writing to that church in Colossae, he's calling them to live differently. And he's calling them to be different as Christians. They're to be marked by loving kindness and forgiveness, love for one another. And then he says, and be thankful. The Bible actually is constantly calling us to be thankful, calling us to acknowledge kindness and recognize goodness. We like it when people are thankful, don't we? And we get cross when people are not. So there you are going down that narrow country lane and you see a car coming the other way. And so you get up on the side out of the way and stop, and you scratch your car along the side as you get near the hedge to make way. And then a person comes along and they go straight by without acknowledging it. And how do you feel? Well, my wife can tell you how I feel when that happens. You know, you just carry on through, you know, never mind saying thank you. We sort of have a feeling, don't we? We don't like it when people are not thankful. It's good to be thankful. It's good to express thankfulness. It makes such a difference, doesn't it, when we do something for someone and they're thankful. We don't mind, do we? It sort of makes all the effort worthwhile if they're thankful. Well, that's why we're here tonight. We're expressing thanks. We're being thankful. We're acknowledging goodness. We're recognizing kindness. And we all have a lot to be thankful for. And we all have a lot of people to be thankful to. But tonight we're particularly expressing our thanks to God. We're recognizing what He does for us and what He has accomplished for us. And we're recognizing His goodness to us. So I just want us to think about that for a while, very simply tonight. You children can understand this. We're going to think about the blessing of thankfulness and then the reasons for thankfulness. And then as we finish, the expression of thankfulness. So the blessing of thankfulness. By that I mean there's real blessing and joy and satisfaction that comes from being thankful. And the reason for that is because that's how we were made. That's what we were made to be. We were made to be thankful people. That's how God designed us and created us to be. Just to take and not acknowledge the giver is not a satisfying thing. You might think it would be. You might think, well, I'm just going to take and get and have what I want and I'll be happy. But actually, it doesn't work that way, does it? The Bible says we were made to be thankful. Made by God to know Him and to enjoy all that He gives us in relationship to Him, looking to Him, thankful to Him, in humble dependence on Him. And that's why, of course, when we look around us at our society, there is, you can see it, can't you, a restlessness. And an emptiness and a dissatisfaction. Even though we live in a society that has so much and never lived so long. Why is that? It's because we were made not just for stuff and things while ignoring God, but we were made to be thankful and to acknowledge God and know Him and look to Him for everything. So perhaps you're here tonight, can I be bold and say, perhaps you're here tonight, and it's great that you're here, and you sang the hymns, but the reality is that really you're living with all that God gives you, but you don't really want Him. And you're not really thankful to Him. But I want to say to you, there's a blessing in being thankful. Psalm 92 and verse 1. That psalm begins like this. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. That means it's right. It's the right thing to do. It's what we ought to do. I've already indicated, we understand that on a human level. One of the first things we teach our children is to say thank you. I'm sure you children, well, that was one of the first words you learned, or two words, or however it was put. You probably couldn't say quite, you couldn't get the thought out, but you said something that said, thank you. And we like that, don't we? We want that. We teach our children that, and we're embarrassed when they don't do that. I remember Sunday school anniversary. We would have to be, it was a scary occasion, we'd have to come up to the front and get a book from the Sunday school superintendent. And being shy and retiring like I am, you know, it was quite a trek to come up to the front. And the superintendent was quite serious. And Mum would, for about a week before, she'd be like, don't forget to say thank you when you get that book. And you know, some years I'd forget. And I'd walk back and there was my mum glaring at me because I'd forgotten to say thank you. Because, you know, we're like that, aren't we? We recognize that's inbuilt in us. So we shudder when a child grabs something or an adult and just takes it and doesn't say thank you. Well, if that's true on a human level, it's even more true, isn't it, when it comes to God. When this God who's been so good to us and provides everything for us. Well, it's right to give thanks to him. It's right to acknowledge him. It's right to stop and say, where does all this come from? All I have, where does it come from? Well, it comes from him, and so I'm going to thank him for it. Sin is when we just try and live in this world without him. Sin is when we take everything he gives us and we don't want him. That's what sin is, and it's serious, and it's also tragic. Because there's no joy really there. So, the blessing of thankfulness. Are you thankful? You know that joy? It's a blessing to be a thankful person, to be recognizing all that you have. It's easy to become, to sort of focus on everything that's wrong, isn't it? Instead of going, wow, I've got so much to be thankful for. So much to give thanks to God for. Okay, well, let's think about that. And the reasons. The reasons for thankfulness. What have you might say, okay, Hugh, what have I got to be thankful to God for today? Well, we could, of course, there's lots of things we could say. I'm just plucking out some things to do, perhaps with particularly with harvest and some of the things we think about regarding that. But, well, what have you got to be thankful for this amazing universe in which you live? Some people have made the house that they live in. I mean, that's quite an impressive thing. But did you make the universe that you live in? You didn't, did you? Neither did I. Of course, there are people who tell us it's all by chance. It's all a random, meaningless accident. Just the result of a big bang. No design, no purpose, no creator. And the Bible says, doesn't it, that thinking is foolish. This universe is incredible. It's incredible in its vastness. It's incredible in its detail. It's incredible in its rules and laws and maths. The more the scientists discover, the more amazing and intricate and wonderful it is. And everything about it points to a creator. It's been made. So how does the Bible begin? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we come to the Psalms and they say, don't they, the heavens declare the glory of God. And everything around us is shouting out, there's a God and he's made everything. We've been designed, we've been created. And it's an amazing creation, isn't it? It's wonderfully ordered. It's breathtakingly beautiful. It's overwhelmingly vast. And God has made it and designed it perfectly. It's just what for us to live in. And it's not just sort of functional. It's beautiful, isn't it? With all its variety and everything. And it's a constant reminder to us then of the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. So we have reason to be thankful tonight for this amazing universe that we live in. Now, the Bible says this, if you can turn there if you have a Bible, or you can just listen, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So Paul is saying that God is invisible, yes, but he's seen in everything that he's made. He's clearly seen. His power, his wisdom, his character, his Godhead is seen. And what do? They suppress that. They push that down. They try and say, there isn't a God. He's not here. Perhaps you're trying to do that, even though you're here tonight. The thing is that you can't keep it down because it sort of keeps coming back up. If you've ever got a beach ball in the pool, you know, lots of you won't have done this, but you have a beach ball and you try and sit on it under the water so that it stays down there. And what does it do? It bobs up. You put it down again. You just can't keep it down. And that knowledge of God, you might push it down, but it comes back up. And it's there in your conscience, all around you in the world. There is a God. There is a God. You've been created. You've been made. So, first thing to be thankful for, this amazing universe that we live in. Go out and see a starry night. Who are you going to thank? Don't you want to thank someone for it all? What have we got to thank God for? For the life that we have. Let me remind you of another psalm. "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully, wonderfully made." Where has your life come from? How is it that you're alive today? It's because the God of heaven and earth, the giver of life, has given you life. It's not an accident. It's a miracle. It's a wonder. Thankful we should be that we're alive. Most of you here tonight look alive. Some of you look like you're on the edge of it, but you're alive, aren't you? And that's good, isn't it? That's a blessing. And it's God who gives you life and your breath, everything. What does it say? In him we live and move and have our being. So your life and your health and your strength and your gifts, they all come from God. It's good God. They're given to you. So in that parable that Robert read to us, where here's this man who thinks his life is his own, doesn't he? And what does God say to him? "This night your soul will be required of you, required back, because I gave you your life, and I'm gonna ask for it back." And what are you gonna do? So be thankful for life. And of course, the question you ought to be asking, and I ought to be asking, is, well, if God's given us life, what does God want us to do with our lives? With the strength and the abilities that he's given us? And the answer is, he wants us to live for his glory. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to know him and trust him and acknowledge him and thank him. And the trouble is, of course, we haven't done that. So what have we got to thank God for? This amazing universe we live in. The life that he gives us to live in it. We thank him for everything he's given us. I mean, that's what we're doing today, isn't it? Every good gift, every perfect gift is from God. Every meal we've ever eaten, every lungful of air we've ever had, it's all come from God. Every harvest is a reminder of the faithfulness of God as he sends the rain and the sun and the crops grow and we have food to eat. Everything we have comes from his good, kind hands. It's not an automatic process. There's, He upholds the universe. He keeps it all going. He makes us sends the planets on their course and keeps the sun going. The Bible's teaching, isn't it, that in him all things consist. He upholds all things by the word of his power. It's just a moment, a word, and it would all come to an end. So that's why we give thanks for all that we have. That's why we give thanks before we eat our food, because everything we have comes from his good, kind hand. Reasons to be thankful, for you to be thankful, this universe, your life, everything you've got. And then, of course, he's provided you and me with the greatest thing we could ever need. He's provided us with a Savior. He's provided us with a rescuer. He's provided Jesus to be our Savior. What's our greatest need? It's to have our sins forgiven. We've had all that God gives us, and we've not loved him as we should. We haven't walked in his ways. We've made idols of the things he's given us instead of loving him. And that brings us under his judgment, and it brings us under his wrath, and it makes us worthy of hell. And we need a Savior. We need someone who can rescue us from that end and deal with our sin and bring us back to God. And that's what God's provided in Jesus, in the one who is that living fountain of living water. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's provided a Savior for you. This one who's come, God has come, hasn't he? And he's lived that life that you and I have failed to live. And he's died that death that you and I deserve to die. And he's risen again from the dead. And he's conquered death. And he says, come to me, and I will give you life. It's the greatest gift. What have you done with it? Have you received it? Have you embraced it? Have you said, yeah, this is what I need, a Savior? Praise God, many of us here tonight can say this, that this one is my Savior. That I've got reason to thank God tonight, not only for this amazing universe and all the good things he gives us, but I've got reason to thank God tonight because he's forgiven my sin and he's reconciled me to himself and he's brought me into his family and he's made me one of his children so that now I can enjoy all the good things he gives me in relation to him. And there's a new sweetness in everything I eat and all that I do because I'm reconciled to God. And my conscience has been cleansed and my guilt has been removed. My burden's gone and I have peace with God and I can walk with him and live for him and trust in him. Well, that's something to be thankful for tonight. Do you know that? Well, you can't you? It's free. We sang, didn't we? You come free without any cost. You can come. Acknowledge your sin and repent of it and ask the Lord to save you. Oh, there's a reason we could go on and on, couldn't we? Reasons to be thankful. Are we thankful tonight? Well, let's just think as we finish. It won't be long tonight, but just an expression of thankfulness. How are we to express that? Well, you see, I've got four things down. Let me just go through them. First of all, with words. We're to say it, aren't we? I mean, we've been created in that way. So we're unique in that, aren't we? That we can. It's one of the things about being made in the image of God, that we can speak, we can communicate, we can express ourselves. And that's what God calls us to do. We say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for life. Thank you for this universe. Thank you for all you give me. Thank you for this food. Thank you for your Son. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say that. Have you said that? Have you ever said it? Thank you, Lord. So we use words because God has given us words. And we express it in not only in words, but in worship. Because we express thanks in that way. So I read that Psalm 92, verse 1. It's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Here's how we give thanks. So we say thank you, but we also sing thank you because God's created us in that way as well, hasn't he? With that appreciation of expressing our thanks in song and in worship. So that other great psalm, Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Calls us, doesn't it, to come before his presence with singing. So do you know that joy? If you're a Christian, you do, don't you? That joy of expressing your praise in worship and saying thank you in that way. But of course, we express our thankfulness by trusting in him. We come to him. That's what he wants us to do. He gives us all these good things and we trust him. We trust him with our salvation. We trust him with our lives. We again, Robert read to us that passage goes on in Luke where the Lord says, don't worry about these things, life and food and clothing. Just trust the Lord with them. Trust the Lord with them. We express our thankfulness as we come and we look to him and we trust him. Lord, I trust you to save me, to keep me, to meet my needs. So we express our thankfulness in that way as we come to him and we trust in him and we express our thankfulness by giving our lives to him in sacrifice. So we haven't got to come in here, have we, with a lamb or a goat and offer it as a sin offering to God because Jesus is our sacrifice, isn't he? And he's dealt with our sin and he's provided us with forgiveness. But there is still a sacrifice to bring, isn't there? A living sacrifice, our lives. And we say, Lord, you've done everything for me. You've provided everything for me. You've rescued me. You've saved me. Well, here I am. Take my life. A living sacrifice to you. So as we come to the end of our harvest Thanksgiving Day and we acknowledge all God's done for us and gives to us and provides for us physically, spiritually, there's no other adequate response, is there, than to say, here I am, Lord. I can't hold anything back. My life, my strength, everything, I give it to you. Yes, I express my thanks in my words, but I give you my life. And there's no greater thing to do than that, than to trust ourselves to him and give ourselves to him and live our lives for him. And be thankful. Do we need to be reminded of that today? Be thankful for all that you have and all the Lord's done for you.